Jangan pas ta. Ijo jen. Thank you.
Thank you. We love Samoa. We love Samoa. Hey, Isaac and Diana, would you just stand, please, for just a moment? Just stand. I'm not going to have you come up right now, but I want you just to stand. This is Isaac and Diana Gimba. Would you just welcome them? Thank you. Thank you. They're going to be back among us. You could be seated, but I want to just let you know that you'll be getting an invitation in the near future. We're walking through a merger with Pastor Young and Sonny and their church called His Church, and we've been kind of walking together through this, meeting together, praying, fasting, calling out to God, and having joint times together. And you'll be hearing more of the actual strategy and plan moving forward. But they'll be with us next time all together on our anniversary day. So we'll all be together that day, so I wanted you to be aware of that. And now I want to make you aware of something else. Viola, would you stand, please? I know I'm putting you on the spot. This is Viola Mason, and would you all say happy birthday? Happy birthday. Viola and her husband Gord are longtime Gideon members, and we just love them so much on many levels, but we love that they love the Word of God, and we love the Word of God. So they're looking for young Gideons. So if any of you guys are interested, they're looking for young Gideons. We're going to play that clip right off the bat. Thank you.
Did you see the Parthian foot races last night? Darius ran like a gazelle.
Jews don't go to foot races.
Your old friend Simon himself used to run the wagering tables.
We're not friends. Next.
Okay, fine. So you did not go to the races? You stay home?
I went to see my mother.
That would put me out, too. She asked when you're going to give her grandchildren?
She didn't ask.
I thought your parents don't speak to you.
I had questions I couldn't ask anyone else.
Mother of a son with talent like yours should be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use the talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew! Matthew, son of Alphaeus.
Yes?
Follow me.
Eh?
Yes, you.
Whoa. What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him? Yes.
Listen, I said it.
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're gonna throw it all away.
Yes.
I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
Grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, I'll keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties. Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
Okay, we're good. So we'll give this a go. So we want to look at Philippians. I just want to begin in the book of Philippians and just start here today, and then next week we'll pick up on this again. But I want to take us through a few things quickly, and I want to begin with Philippians chapter 1. And because I can't see this. Oh, I can't see it. You guys, these guys are amazing. Hold on. It's an epistle of joy and love. So is that up there? But okay, here we go. So Philippians, there's more said about joy and gladness and rejoicing in such a short space than anywhere else in the Bible. So I want to catch up a little bit. I spoke a few weeks ago on the glorious church, and I want to talk a little bit about that and how we need to see, be in a place where we're more encouraged than discouraged. And so I want to just begin here in the book of Philippians, talking about joy and how we need to find, you know, David, it said he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. When things turned, you know, really bad for him, he turned to the Lord and he got strength in the Lord. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we need to be more encouraged in these days than discouraged. And so I talked a little bit last time about the messes that are going on, and you can focus on the messes or you can focus on the King, you know, and he's doing something in the earth that is absolutely beautiful. And when we focus on that, our hearts are strengthened and encouraged. So here we go. Let's give this a go here. And you gotta let me pray. And you pray for me, pray with me. Just let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. More than anything else, Lord, we thank you for your precious, precious presence, Lord. We thank you that you're with us, Lord, just as you promised, Lord God. Lord, you're the promise keeper, the ultimate promise keeper, Lord God. You said that every time your people gathered, you'd be there in their midst. And so we give you honor, we give you praise. We thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, lead us in this hour, Lord. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this is going to, I'm going to fumble around a little bit. Bear with me. This thing's kind of new to me. I don't, and in fact, I probably wasted too much time on this PowerPoint, but hopefully you'll enjoy it. So here we go. This is the title of this morning's message, okay? But among you, it will be different. Now, I want to say, among you, it will be different. This is, we're entering into Purim, where the Jewish people commemorate and celebrate the fact that the Lord delivered them, and delivered them from the hands of Haman, in the book of Esther. Do you remember that? Some of the ladies on Wednesday night had a lot of fun. I wish we had those pictures. We got Ashlyn. Were you Haman? Yes, you were Haman. And I saw the pictures. You did a great job. But, you know, one of the famous verses in the book of Esther is that, Esther, you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I want to say that there's a corporate Esther in the earth. There's a corporate Esther in the earth where the Lord would say that we have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We're the corporate Esther, the body of Christ, the God's people are the corporate Esther upon the earth, where he's doing something that's absolutely beautiful, but among you it will be different. And I want to get this into our hearts, because I grew up, you know, where people would complain about the church. You know, like I remember going with a group of Christians every month. We went to visit a certain place. I don't want to give too much away, because I don't want to. These guys aren't here, but I just want to. They would talk about their churches, and they would kind of complain about it. And I always had a difficult time with that. I thought, you know, that's not like, wow, you know. But you know, I always felt like we were the ones. And I would actually challenge them on occasion, where I'd say, we're called to be the church, you know. Not to talk about the church. We're called to be the church. We're called to be different. Different. You know, Jesus said that what is happening on the earth and what he prayed for will be recognizable. It will be recognizable by the world. It will be something visible that takes place on the earth. And so this is a beautiful thing that you and I get to be a part of. Every single one of us gets to be a part of this. Okay, so in this message this morning, it's a participatory message. It's that we get to enter in, every single one of us. Every single one of us. So let's keep going and see where we're going to go with this. So last time I spoke from this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, to present her to himself a glorious church, a radiant church. This is where this is going. And I would be the most discouraged person on the planet if I didn't know who prayed the prayers about the glorious church. If I didn't know that it was Jesus himself that said, I will build my church. Right? Did he say that? And the gates of hell would not prevail against it. If we didn't have that confidence, we'd be among the most discouraged people on the earth. But we're among the most encouraged because he says that there will be a radiant church, a bride without spot or wrinkle. Now look at this. In Ephesians 4, it talks about the fivefold ministry of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I love the fivefold ministry. And this is there's a restoration on the earth. There's things happening. That's why it's not like yesterday. This is not like yesterday. We're living in a new day and a new time. Yes, there's a war going on. Yes, there's exposure going on within the body of Christ. There's all this stuff going on. And yet there's this beauty that's happening across the face of the earth. And it's the people of God. It's you. It's you. You know, I said to Young and Sonny, I said, you know, if you guys, as we merge together, you know, we are a gift to you. Now, hear me out. Stay with me. We are a gift to you. But I said, you are a gift to us. And I want to say to everyone seated here this morning, you are a gift. You are a gift. So this is where we're going. The fivefold ministries to equip the body of Christ for work of service until we all attain to the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, very quickly, I talked about this last time, but I want to talk about unity, intimacy, and maturity. Just about unity, one verse, Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Another translation says, be diligent, make every effort. This is where we get to be participants, every single one of us. You get to participate in this in your marriage. You get to participate this in every relationship that you have. As elders, we get to participate in this. As leaders, we get to participate in this, making every effort. Every effort. Christianity is not effortless. It's an empowerment for effort, right? We're empowered for the effort. So the power comes from him, but he says make every effort. Unity, intimacy. Intimacy. Let me just see here for a second. I wanted to make a couple of... Okay, here we go. Yeah, intimacy. Okay, so Christianity 101 is spending time with the Lord. That's 101. If you're not doing that, you've got to carve out time. You've got to spend time with the Lord. You've got to spend time with the Lord. Getting close to the Lord is the most important thing that you can do on this planet. We love Youth with a Mission. I spent a year with YWAM, and one of the things I learned there was that I was not created for, the purpose for which God created me was to know him. That every single one of us have been created with that purpose. Sometimes we think, I mean, isn't it funny that we work and work and work and then we retire, you know? Like you work and work and work and then you retire, and then that's all behind you, you know? And the worst thing you know, the person can ask you is, what do you do, you know? And you say, well, you know, what do I do, you know? And your whole, the sum of your existence, you know, is in that, the answer to that question. And what do you do? And but we are created to be sons and daughters of God. That's what we're created for this intimate relationship. I can't emphasize that enough. Reading the Bible, praying, these are basic things. Walking with God, it's been a great adventure. 50 years. I walked by the Union Mission last night, by the Mission for Men, and we were talking among our group because it was 50 years ago, third floor of the Union Mission for Men, that my life was transformed. You know, it was just, it's there that I met Jesus. And it's been an adventure ever since. Everything is an adventure of walking with Jesus. This intimacy, this you know, being close to him, inviting him into everything, and him inviting me into the things he's doing, and just walking with the Lord. So unity, intimacy, and then I want to touch on maturity, because this is one of my favorite things that's happening in the body of Christ right now, is this maturity that's coming. It blows me away. I told you a story last time about sitting with a national leader, and he had done some things, and he had said some things, and I don't know how much of the story I told you, but it was just that what he said was not helpful. It didn't promote unity in the room. It wasn't helpful. And so I got together for coffee with this brother, and I you know, here, this guy, I didn't know how he would receive it, but I felt the Lord wanted me to talk to him about this, you know, because we're all about unity in the city, and we want to be unified, but this wasn't helpful. What you said wasn't helpful. And so I got together with him, and I was so, so blessed. I was blessed by the humility of his heart. I was blessed by that. And I saw right there a maturity that is rare. It's something new, you know, because offense has been the name of the game, you know. When we touch each other, it's an offense rises up. You know, we're not the best receivers, or we have not been the best receivers, but that's changing. I was raised to believe that God is looking for fat Christians. Faithful, available, and teachable. Teachable. That's important. That's important. So maturity. Two things about maturity I want to mention. One is the mindset is that maturity comes with a mindset. It comes with having our minds renewed. As our minds are renewed, as we're in the Word of God, and we're actually challenged by the Word. You know, if you're not getting challenged by the Word, you're reading it too fast. Or you're reading it for other reasons, but you're not reading it to digest the nutrients of the Word so that it gets in you and out of you, right? It changes a mindset, how we see one another. Most of my intercession, I've told you this before, but a lot of my intercession comes out of judgment. It comes out of having my feelings hurt. It comes out of people not doing things the way I would do them, you know? And then I turn this into intercession. I won't keep these people in my heart. I've determined. I had a brother in this morning. He's not here, so he's none of you guys. But a brother this morning, the thought came through my head, and it wasn't the most generous thought towards this brother. And so I said, no way. And I lifted this brother out of my heart, and I presented him to the Lord, giving thanks for him and praying for him. That's what we need to do to preserve the unity in the body. It's so good. Thank you, Lord. Mindset. So this maturity involves mindset. The other thing is, it involves coming to a place. People who have studied maturity, even in the secular world, who've looked at what are the steps to maturity, they pretty much agree that as we mature and as we get older, that if we're truly maturing, then gratitude will be like a centerpiece in our lives. Gratitude will be there. That's a huge part of maturity. In fact, there's a quote that says, it says something about gratitude. we are mature to the degree we are grateful. To the degree that we are grateful, we are mature. Okay? So there's a couple of things, mindset and gratitude, that have to do with maturity. So let's keep going. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. You know, I'll go back to Acts chapter 16. In fact, maybe in an email we'll send out tomorrow, we'll mention to read Acts chapter 16, because this is where it began for Paul. And if you look in Philippians chapter 1 and you look at let's start at verse 3. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I've got in my Bible underlined, from the first day. I love Acts chapter 16, from the first day. Valerie and I sat by the water where Paul met Lydia. We were in Philippi in Greece, and we sat by that water. And I love Lydia. It says that she was a religious woman. Lydia was a religious woman, and the Lord opened her heart. So beautiful. And that demon-possessed girl that was walking after Paul, she got delivered in Philippi. And then they went to prison. You know what I'd be remembering? Maybe you'd be remembering it too, the beating. I mean, it's quite descriptive. If you read in Acts chapter 16, it wasn't a light flogging. I mean, it was a beating that he received. And he had Paul and Silas in that prison. And then also, you know, Paul was directed to them, you know. God loved the people in Philippi. He loved them. He saw something in there, and he changed Paul's plans. Paul was going a certain direction, and he stopped him. And Paul got the Macedonian call, a guy just saying, come on over. And he went over, and the rest is history. But Paul writes here, he says, with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And then this is one of, you know, Philippians is known for many verses that are famous. And one of them we quote a lot is Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I just love that God is committed to what he's begun in all of our lives. He's committed to it. He's committed to the church. He's committed to answering his own prayer. You know, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're answering the prayer that his church would be one, that they would be so visible, their oneness and love would be so visible that the world would behold it and believe. The world would behold it and believe. Love is powerful. The early church, they saw it. They saw it. Secular authors wrote about it. They said, oh my, what love they have one for another. I mean, it was visible. Something of their love was visible. During a plague, it was the Christians that would even bury the dead. You know, the pagan dead, the not even the Christian dead. They would bury other people's dead, you know. And there was just this visibility, this love that was so visible. Let's keep going. So notice, okay, this is where I want to just take us very quickly, and this is where we'll end today in a few minutes. But I want you to see this, that Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, Paul doesn't talk about his apostleship. Now, everybody knows he's an apostle. In fact, you know what I love? Is that Paul was the most gifted man, you know, and yet he was a man of incredible character, incredible character. And this is where I've gotten in my life lately, and maybe you have as well, but I'm not as enamored by the gift. For a long time, especially when I was young, I was enamored by gift, by the gifting in people. Now I'm enamored by their character. The gifts are beautiful, but they function even without character. I don't know why God has chosen to do it that way, but the gift can continue to function, but if the character is not there, it's actually destructive. It's destructive. So here's Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. You know, there's our dear friend Diost, planted a church in the south end of Ottawa, and his church is called Greatness Church. Greatness Church. You know, we're all called to greatness. Every single one of us is called to greatness. There it is, right there. Whoever wants to be great must be your servant. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. But it shall not be so among you. But that's not the way it will be. And, you know, if you read it in its context, it talks about the Pharisees lording it over them, you know, taking their power. But that's not the way it is with you. Among you, it must not be like that. But don't act like them, Matthew 20:26. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Part of the reason and the motivation for bringing this message this morning is because something was lost along the way, you know, in many, many of our leaders across the earth, you know, something was lost. And do you know that I, to this day, I stoop down and pick up paper? Does anybody else here pick up paper? You know, like, you know, so much has been lost, you know, where we get, and Isaac, I wish I had a picture of you ironing back there. I'm not going to say anything more about that, but I just wish I had that picture. You know, when I sent out the email for irons, iron boards, and ironers, Christian and his family responded, and Christian's become one of my favorite little guys. I told him I was going to call him out this morning in a sermon illustration, but I said to him, I said, Christian, I want you on my team. I want you on my team, you know. So there we go. What after all is Apollos? What after all is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Each of us did the work the Lord gave him. You know, if you don't know what it is, ask God, you know, because he's given each of us a work to do. He's given us tasks. You're unique. You're so unique. I got this thing, and you got it too, and we there's this love that's not our own. You know, we love one another. Mitch, I love you. You know that. I love you standing at the back of the church and interceding. You know, I just love that, you know. And there's this love that we have one for another. But each one is unique. Each one's gift, you know, complements the other. I feel like the richest man on the earth. I really do. I get to walk with some of the most beautiful people. I get to walk with all of you. I get to walk with people in the city. You know, I've just become the richest, one of the richest men. Rich man among rich men and women. Right? That's who we are.
By God's grace and mighty power, I've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. I love that you're spreading the good news, man. I love that you didn't come to worship on Friday night. Nobody's going to understand what that means. Because they went to Bayshore Shopping Center to preach the gospel, right, Joshua? And so I love that. I love that. So you've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Almost done. Here we go. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. I would encourage you to serve when nobody sees you. I would encourage you to clean up someone else's mess. I'd encourage you to gravitate towards the kitchen every now and then. That kitchen, I call that, I want to put up some kind of, you know, that's one of the greatest places for prayer and for fellowship, right there, that kitchen right back there. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Be patient with difficult people, patient when wronged. You know the thing about the Apostle Paul? That's what I love about him, because he had such gifting. He was, you know, but he had such character. Anyway, such character. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Use your gift for all it's worth. And really, probably the best place I feel in my heart is when I kind of just settle on the fact that this isn't me. You know, that it's not me, you know, doing whatever I'm doing, or it's not even loving people. I don't know why I could give a stranger the same amount of money I could give you, Lisa. Like, you know, I could do that. Like, what is that, you know? It's usually you give the amount of money just to the person you know, eh? And you certainly want to be recognized for doing it, right? But what is that? It's the Lord in us. It's his work in us. And as soon as we start touching that, something happens. That's why I've never been comfortable, and this wasn't in my notes, but I thought about it this morning. I've never been comfortable praising ourselves. I'll just say it out loud. I've never been comfortable about West Ottawa praising itself. Like, for any of the areas where the Lord has used us, any of the areas of beauty, let's, or of anything you want, worship, pick any example you want. I've never been comfortable with us praising. Even the Bible says, let another praise you, right? That's what the Bible says. So, but really, it all comes from him. And Isaac, I call you out all the time. That's why I wanted you to stand up, because I want them to see where all my illustrations are coming from. But... But I love the dream, you know, and it was not it's not what you did for the Lord, but what you allowed the Lord to do through you. What a subtle difference, but huge, absolutely huge, what we allow the Lord to do through us. There's no limit to what the Lord can do. There are limits to what we can do. We get tired, we get burned out, we get, you know, ineffective. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to the saints of Christ Jesus in Philippi, together with overseers and deacons. You know, the word saints is used 60 times. You know, we, in the Bible, 60 times. We have one thing over the Catholics, okay? Maybe one thing over the Catholics is they, most of their saints, you know, they are recognized after they're dead, right? But the Bible calls us saints right now. You are Saint Linda right there, Saint Linda. A saint is not merely a professing follower of Christ, but a professing follower assumed to be what he professes. Isn't that good? I tried to look it up again and find out, you know, who I'm quoting here, but I do like it, so I'm going to repeat it. A saint is not merely a professing follower of Christ, but a professing follower of Christ assumed to be what he professes. Can the worship team come back up? And I just want to close with a couple of slides, because we want to honor Jesus in this place. He's the one. There's no greater servant. No greater servant than Jesus. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I was going to read the passage because it's so beautiful. It's so it's like a drama unfolding before his disciples. You know, they would have forgot most of his sermons, but they would not forget this one. Not when he put that towel around his waist and got down and washed their feet. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. These are the words of Jesus. Let's just seal it in prayer. Would you stand with me as the worship team comes to lead us in worship? And I put these running shoes on the first of the year. Most of you know that. I put them on the first of the year because I believe that the Lord really showed me something very clear, that he was giving energy to run the race, that he was giving his spirit to us to run the race, that he would even touch our bodies. You know, I was having like some real bad back pain, and the Lord said, "I got your back." And a couple people prayed for me, and I'm walking without pain right now. And I want to just thank the Lord for that. But he wants us to run this race well. And you know, it's really important that we finish well. We've all failed, every single one of us. You and I do not have to live in the shame of the past or our failures of the past. I love the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash my sins away. Nothing but the blood. And it does a good job, a thorough job, a complete job. It takes care of all the shame, all the things that we of our past, and every single one of us can finish this race really, really well. Empower us, Lord, now by your Spirit. Lord, finish what you've begun, even in this service, Lord God. You're the God of the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end, Lord. Would you continue the work that you've begun in each of our hearts, in Jesus' name?